Welcome to Caring Better and Braver, a podcast for family caregivers in Wisconsin and the La Crosse County area. I'm your host, Jenna Juvie. Before we get going with today's episode, I want to take a minute to thank the Aging and Disability Resource Center of La Crosse County for sponsoring this podcast. If you're new to caregiving or a seasoned caregiver looking for support, the Aging and Disability Resource Center is the place to go. They have staff dedicated to helping caregivers adjust to their new role, plan ahead, prepare for emergencies, problem solve, access respite or in-home help, and get training or education. Call the ADRC of La Crosse County today, 608-785-5700, or visit their website, www.lacrossecounty.org/ADRC. Something all caregivers need is a break, whether or not you realize it. Taking time away for yourself or finding someone else to help is hard, though, and requires planning. Fortunately, Wisconsin caregivers have some really great resources available to them through the Respite Care Association of Wisconsin, or RCAW. RCAW is a nonprofit organization that has been around since 1982. To learn more about what the Respite Care Association does and what they offer family caregivers, we invited their project manager, Rachel Watkins Peterson, to the show.
Welcome, Rachel.
Hi, Jenna. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being here.
My pleasure. I'm really grateful that you had us on today, hoping to spread the word in La Crosse County and throughout the state on respite and what we can offer. So RCAW, we are a nonprofit, and our mission is to promote, support, and expand quality statewide respite care across the lifespan. When I say lifespan, I mean caregivers who are caring for their care recipients birth through end of life. So if there's children living with special needs, adult children living maybe with intellectual and or developmental disabilities, partners caring for each other, adult children caring for their parents, there's grandparents raising their grandchildren. So it's important to remember when we say caregivers, it's a very diverse population and can include many different facets. We do serve all 72 counties in Wisconsin, as well as the 11 tribes, and we're funded through via state statute through DHS. We're kind of twofold in essence. We want to increase the trained pool of respite care providers, right? Because that's a huge barrier for people to receive respite care, is the lack of respite care providers. And we do provide that free training online, which we can talk about more later. And then we also have grant programs to help caregivers get the break they need. Because when we collect data for our grant programs, we ask caregivers, you know, what are the top three challenges? And always in the top three, they report financial. So the financial aspect of receiving respite care.
Something Rachel said that I like to keep in mind is that caregivers are a diverse population. We have caregivers of all ages caring for various age groups, people with different disabilities and different cultures.
You know, RCAW, we're really striving to meet the needs of underserved communities, rural, Hispanic, LGBTQ+. Among, it's also important when professionals, when we're serving the caregivers, to know that it's a lifespan and to know that not every caregiver looks the same and acts the same and feels the same. And depending on their culture, depending on what they're dealing with and the diagnosis of the person and the level of needs, it's not a cookie cutter situation. Everything is different.
Caregiving is never a cookie cutter situation. And just in case we need a reminder, I asked Rachel, what is respite care? And why is it so important?
But essentially, what respite care is, it's a short break for primary caregivers, and it gives them the opportunity to rest, refresh, and recharge.
Let's play it again.
Rest, refresh, and recharge. I think it's so important for caregivers to not feel guilty because they need and they want to take a break. And the more opportunities they give themselves with respite care, the longer they're going to be able to provide that care for the care recipient and decrease the chances of having to put them in a facility-based environment or an institution. It's so important. I like to think of respite care as a critical public health intervention. Caregiving round the clock caregivers, it often leads them to feel isolated, tired, depressed, and anxious, and the mental health toll on primary caregivers. It often can exacerbate their physical health conditions, and data does support that caregivers report chronic health conditions, including heart attacks, heart disease, cancer, diabetes, and arthritis, at nearly twice the rate of non-caregivers. And if they're not taking care of themselves, how are they going to take care of others? There's so many benefits to respite care. It can increase social engagement and decrease isolation. We hear that a lot all over the lifespan. So if it's a parent, you know, with a child living with special needs, or if it's an older adult caring for someone living with memory issues, you know, the care recipient gets the diagnosis and they start talking to their friends and family. And before you know it, what we hear and we see is people kind of start, like, you know, going back into the weeds. And before you know it, the caregivers are thinking, these were my good friends, and now I'm in one of the hardest positions of my life, and people aren't showing up for me. And they can really feel isolated, which can lead to depression. And getting that break, it can boost social engagement, it can boost social, emotional, and physical health. It also can prevent unhealthy habits. Think about if you're completely overwhelmed, you're not feeling good physically, you're not feeling good mentally. Sometimes people can turn to vices, whether it's eating their feelings or maybe having too many cocktails or just anything unhealthy. It can really prevent those bad habits. It can allow the primary caregiver to maintain a sense of identity. Oftentimes they feel like they've completely lost who they are because now their only job is to do this, to take care of a loved one, which isn't necessarily true, but it's how they feel. It's just as beneficial for care recipients for the caregiver to get respite care. When they're overwhelmed and exhausted and tired and they're not getting a good night's sleep because, you know, they're laying in bed and they're thinking about the million things going on in their lives, you're not going to be whole and fresh. You're going to be crabby and short-sighted. And depending, you know, regardless, I should say, not depending, but regardless of the diagnosis, if the person is non-speaking or, you know, depending on where they are in their disease progress, they can absolutely feel the energy from the caregiver who's overwhelmed. So to get them that opportunity to have creative engagement with a respite care professional, it's just as important for the person receiving the care.
Rachel goes on to tell us about the grant programs they offer to make sure caregivers can afford respite care.
Because, like I said earlier, one of the top three challenges that are reported unanimously is the financial aspect of respite care, and that being a barrier. So we have the Caregiver Respite Grant Program and the Supplemental Respite Grant Program. Anyone can be eligible. It's not based on income. We do ask that applicants get a supporting documentation form from either the ADRC or the county, depending on the age of the care recipient. And it indicates that essentially we ask that they try something else first. So if they've applied for another long-term care waiver or another grant like the National Family Caregiver Support Program, the Alzheimer's Family Caregiver Support Program, if they've applied and they've been waitlisted, or if they've applied and, you know, they're not going to receive services within 30 days, maybe they're ineligible because of income and being over assets. If they are receiving support services, but they've exhausted the funds for the year. So we just ask they try something else first. And a lot of times, just yesterday, a caregiver had reached out to me and needed a caregiver respite grant, and because they really needed the break, and they didn't know that there was an ADRC or what it was. So it's not only we ask they try something else first, but oftentimes we can introduce them to something that maybe they didn't know about. And we really like to have a no wrong door policy. If a caregiver calls, we're not just ever going to say, no, we can't help you. We always say, you know, we'll get them the resources to where they need to be. But the great thing about the Caregiver Respite Grant Program is we at RCAW have no preference who provides the respite care. So the applicant can choose a friend, a family member, a neighbor. They can choose someone from the community. They can absolutely choose someone from a home care agency. We have caregivers that apply, and depending on the acuity, their loved one might need to stay in a skilled setting. and that can help offset those costs as well. And the supplemental respite grant program, it's the same eligibility criteria. We ask that they try something else first, and there's a supporting documentation form. The link's on our website, and it's a fillable form, so it's really easy for ADRC or county staff to fill out. But that can help offset the cost of housekeeping, lawn care, snow removal, technology to decrease isolation, transportation. So those are just really great resources that I want people to know about.
Finding a respite provider or identifying other people who can help is also an important part of emergency or backup planning. Here again, our CAW has resources that caregivers can use when they're planning ahead for emergencies and unexpected situations.
So we also have a document on our website called What's Your Plan? And it's a plan if a caregiver were to become sick or need emergency care. Caregivers can list people that are part of the plan, their name, phone number, relationship, their role, living situations if they're sick. If the caregiver becomes sick, where are they going to go? Where is their care recipient going to stay? If they're both staying in the same house, if they're sick, if they become infected with COVID, how are you going to keep each other separate? There's also responsibilities outside of your home. Is there anyone else outside of your home that you're responsible for? So if you're in an emergency situation and let's say that you're caring for an adult child living with intellectual or developmental disabilities, who else in the home are you responsible for? Do you need to follow up with your place of employment? Who is responsible for getting the medication and groceries and essential items? And there's more questions about living situations, items and supplies and important phone numbers, but that's really important and can be really helpful in an emergent situation to have that filled out because it's a grab and go, right? You grab it, you give it to whoever is going to be responsible while you tend to an emergency, and everything is in one place. The message I really want caregivers to know, and I know it's easier said than done, but really the importance of being proactive versus reactive, something you don't want to think about and you don't want to do, but when you need it, it's so critical to have, and it can make a really terrible situation a little bit more seamless to have this in place.
In addition to combating the financial barriers to accessing respite, RCAW is addressing worker shortages by offering solutions that would increase the number of trained respite providers throughout the state.
So RCAW offers a free online training. It's called the Respite Care Provider Training. It is free. It's online. You can work at your own pace. There are 10 courses within there. And when someone successfully completes it, they do get a certificate of completion for 7 hours. It doesn't dive into specific diagnosis because, right, you can do, days and days of training on autism, days and days in training on dementia. So it talks about the general needs to be a respite care provider. So it talks about, what is respite, disability basics, client care, medication awareness, safety procedures, caring for challenging moments, professional ethics, and it really sets someone up who might not have any experience, or maybe they do have experience and they want to keep learning. Once someone completes the respite care provider training, they have the choice to join the Wisconsin Respite Care Registry, and that's a bridge to connect people who need respite care to those who provide respite care. And I think it's really important to point out that RCAW, we're not the employers of those respite care professionals listed on the registry. We provide the training and the bridge to the registry to those who need it. So a caregiver who needs respite care, if you go to the registry on our website, www.respitecarewi.org, once you get to the registry, you can search by the county, which you live, and the age of the care recipient, and then it auto-populates people who have successfully completed the training. And we do have a registry compliance. It's every 60 days, and we need them to verify that their contact information has not changed and they're still able to take more clients. Because even though we're not the employer, we can't, force them to call back in a certain amount of time. We definitely encourage it. And there's great success with that. At the end of the day, we don't want the end user reaching out and hitting a bunch of roadblocks, not getting calls back. So we do like to communicate with people on the registry, just indicating that they're still providing and they still have time for more clients. Most of the time, you know, the respite care professional will upload a picture. It'll say their name, email, phone, counties they can work, hours that they're available to work, their experience and history. They can list education, certifications, licenses. And it's up to the person hiring the respite care professional on the registry to run a background check. And we do have training on our website for caregivers. It's a kit. It's knowledge, information, and tools. And it's how to hire, train, and retain a respite care provider. Like I said, a lot of times caregivers feel guilty that they need to take a break. Then maybe they get to the point where they think, okay, you know, now it's time. I need help. I need to reach out to somebody and you know, have a few hours to myself each week. And then you have to find the respite care provider. Then you have to interview them and hire them. And that can all be really daunting and overwhelming. So we just want to set caregivers up to succeed and make it as easy as possible for them.
The Wisconsin Respite Care Registry allows family caregivers to make connections with quality respite care providers. Perusing the registry could be fun, maybe like online dating, maybe not quite. But still, if you find yourself with a spare moment or two, just take a peek. Start planning ahead so you're more prepared to access help when you need it. RCAW has other great tools for caregivers when they're looking to hire help.
So we have the kit for caregivers, like I was saying, it's knowledge, information, and tools. So caregivers, right, the biggest thing that they report is they're overwhelmed, they're fatigued, they're exhausted. And sometimes if you hear, okay, now you need to take a course, that can be so overwhelming that they might just say, no, I'm done. I'm not going to even try to get respite because this just seems, you know, like more work. But what we did then to kind of break down that barrier, course, they can go through the training course on our website, but we did pull out the pertinent information and downloaded it on our website in PDF forms. So if they want to have interview questions, interview situations to use when meeting with a respite care professional, tips on getting to know them, how to train them, how to retain them, they can just go and download those PDFs, kind of like a grab and go in lieu of going through the course. And it's, you know, meeting them where they're at in their journey and whatever works best for them. But like I said, the buzzword is easy. We want to make it as easy on them as possible.
Again, plan ahead. Use the registry and other online tools for caregivers to identify people who can help, people you can rely on to give you a break, and providers you can trust, knowing they're trained and skilled to support your loved one while you're away.
So it's really important for family members to have the backup plan. But like I said, it's easier said than done with like staffing shortages and in every industry, but especially caregiving, it can be really hard to have a backup plan. But searching the registry and reaching out to respite care providers and starting that relationship can really help in the long run. People can ask friends, family, neighbors. It's nice and very helpful to open up that door of communication early. Hey, I'm making an emergency plan and just, you know, may I ask your permission to put your name and number down to help. So then they're not surprised as well.
No surprises. Part of planning ahead involves communicating with the people closest to you, asking if they're willing to help when you need it, and making them aware of any emergency plans, preferences, and other information they may need to know. So far, we've heard about some excellent resources for caregivers in Wisconsin. RCAW offers respite grants, respite provider training, free handouts, and other guidance tools. Before Rachel goes, I asked her to tell us about other virtual or online resources that RCAW offers.
Yeah, so we have Webinar Wednesdays. It's the first Wednesday of the month from 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. Central Standard. I give a 20-minute high-level overview of what RCAW does. And then I always have a guest speaker for the remainder of the time. And given that, like we keep saying, caregivers are not cookie cutter and no situation is the same as another, I like to keep the guest speakers diverse and, you know, not just focused on older adults, but I want to keep it, you know, focused on children and adults and older adults. In are upcoming in August. We have Bryn from GWAR, Caregiver Support Programs, What You Need to Know. All of the past webinar Wednesdays are archived on our website, so I encourage people to take a look. Just yesterday, we had Harriet Redman and Lynn Gall were our guest speakers, and they were talking about Wisconsin's working caregivers Ooh. And strategies and resources for employers. A lot of unpaid caregivers also have that small side gig called a full-time job. There's someone that we had talking about special needs trusts with WISPACT, the Rise Respite Center in Madison. The two gals that started that came on and talked about that. So I really encourage people to check out the webinar Wednesdays. We do have a virtual tab on our website. It's monthly virtual events. So like I said, we have Webinar Wednesday, we have Mindfulness Monday. Oh my gosh, there's this wonderful woman named Holly. You can come as you are, you can keep your camera off and you practice mindfulness for 20 to 30 minutes. And Holly gives great tips and tricks on how to, you know, practice slowing down and settling into our own bodies and turning within. There's so many physical, mental, and emotional benefits to learning mindfulness. We do have an archive of 2-Minute Tip Tuesdays. So that's a video series that's done by our training and development specialist, Vale Madsen. There's lots of different topics like being proactive with the environment, grounding techniques, transitions and foreshadowing, what to do during respite. So sometimes the 2-Minute Tip Tuesdays, it can be geared towards family caregivers and respite care providers. But even like the one that's what to do during respite, a family caregiver can watch that to give their respite care provider some resources and ideas.
We just cannot emphasize enough the importance of caregivers getting a break. What that break looks like is up to you. You get to decide what you need when it comes to rest and relaxation, but you need to plan ahead, and the Respite Care Association is there to get you started. I want to sincerely thank Rachel Watkins Peterson for joining us today and sharing all the wonderful resources that caregivers can find at the Respite Care Association of Wisconsin. Visit them online at www.respitecarewi.org or call 608-222-2033 for more information.
Thank you so much for having me today, Jenna. I'm really happy to have the opportunity to have shared resources to help the community.
Thank you, Rachel. We appreciate you so much.
This podcast was brought to you by the Aging and Disability Resource Center of La Crosse County. Music for this podcast was created by Lemon Music Studios. Thanks, caregivers, for tuning in today. We'll catch you next time, and until then, remember to be brave, be informed, and take care of yourselves so that you can care better for others.